welcome to Hyperspace Heroes. This is Brown 2 signing in for another episode of Wooks Up, otherwise known as Scruffy Unsupervised, where we punch a letter into Wikipedia website and talk about what comes up. Wikipedia is an awesome source of information for all things Star Wars, so if you're unfamiliar with it, you should check it out. The team does an awesome job keeping it up to date with the latest information, and anytime I'm uncertain about anything Star Wars, that's where I go to find the answer. So when the idea of these solo recordings was first brought up, I was a little nervous. However, I quickly realized that there is no one here to supervise me. There's no one here to say, we don't want to talk about that. So with that in mind, today we have the letter E, and I'm going to put that in the Wikipedia site and see what comes up. And our topic for the day is Ewoks. Is that what really came up? Well, no one's here to dispute it, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I mean, who doesn't need more information about Ewoks, or murder bears, as we affectionately refer to them as? So I cannot wait to record V and annoy the guys and talk about Vorpax, or P and talk about Porgs. So anyway, let's dive right in here. So Ewoks were sentinel, diminutive, furry bipeds native to the forest moon of Endor. They were most notable for helping out a Rebel Alliance defeat the forces of the Galactic Empire at the Battle of Endor, allowing the shield generator there to be destroyed and in turn the second Death Star. Ewoks were curious little individuals that stood about 1 meter tall. They were omnivorous. They used spears, slings, and knives as weapons. For transport, they used hang gliders, battle wagons, and Bordax. Although extremely skilled in forest survival and the construction of primitive technology like gliders and catapults, the Ewoks had yet to possess past stone-level technology when they were discovered by the Empire. They were quick learners, however, and when exposed to advanced technology with simple mechanical processes and concept. Some Ewoks were removed from their planet and taken as pets or slaves, others left voluntarily out of a sense of curiosity, especially after the Battle of Endor led to establishment of New Republic trading posts on the forest moon. So, Ewoks were sentinel humanoid mammals averaging about 1 meter in height, which could provide an advantage when trying to hide. They were covered in fur from head to toe with brown and black, the most common colors. Other Ewoks had near white or reddish fur, but red fur was supposedly the rarest shade an Ewok can get. Would that be considered a ginger bear? Most Ewoks had solid color fur, though a few sported stripes. Ewoks had large, bright eyes, small humanoid noses, and hands that possessed two fingers and an opposable thumb. Despite their small size, Ewoks were physically strong enough to overpower combat-trained humans. The human, Mace Tawani, likened their appearance to little bears, though they were sometimes referred to as mini Wookiees. And here is the most interesting part of anything you hear today. Here's the most interesting and notable part. Ewok meat was additionally used as food. The diner Power Sliders on Abafar offered Ewok jerky to its customers during the Clone Wars. Little off topic here, but a number of years ago, Adam Driver confirmed that Ewoks were real and could be found in northern Michigan, so I'm going to go hunting this weekend and make some Ewok jerky. So some of the history here. Despite their primitive technology and isolated homeworld, Ewoks were not totally unknown to the wider galaxy even before the arrival of the Galactic Republic on Endor. As early as 3639 BBY, an Ewok mercenary named Treek became involved in the events of the Galactic War. The phrase Erodian Ewok's clothing was used by Mon Mothma in a speech she gave to Agamar before the Battle of Yavin. The Ewoks of Bright Tree Village, I did not know that village had a name in Return of the Jedi, but the Ewoks of Bright Tree Village, led by Chief Chirpa and Medicine Man Logray, had extensive contact with off-worlders. These Ewoks helped the shipwrecked humans Mace and Sindel Tawani rescue their parents from a Gorax. Later, a group of Sannyasin marauders who had crashed on the forest moon several decades earlier attacked the Ewoks, killing all of the Tawani family except for Sindel, and taken several Ewoks prisoner. A young Ewok named Wicket Warwick helped Sindel and another shipwrecked human defeat the Sannyasins, rescue the prisoners, and find the parts needed to repair the Bricolan's ship. Finally, they helped stop an Imperial scientist named Dr. Rhaegar, who attempted to steal the sacred Sun Star and use it to control the Empire. The Ewoks also had contact with many other sentinel species on the forest moon, such as the Yasms, Gupins, Lizard Warriors, and Teeks. Their cousins, the Swamp-Dwelling Duloks, were rivals of the Ewoks and often made trouble for them. We know the Duloks through the Ewok cartoons. So we'll skip past all the history of the Ewoks in the rebellion and get to some more, as I refer to, interesting topics here. Tribal structure. So tribal structure of the Ewoks, they had a council of elders ruling over each village, headed by a chief. A medicine man also lived in Ewok village, a keeper of mystic lore and healer of the injured. The warriors of the different tribes wore ragged garments on their head to signify their tribe. The warriors also wore wooden chest shields and the jawbones of tiny animals and sharp teeth. Some decorated themselves with ornaments such as feathers, necklaces, pendants, making their body look like a clutter of trinkets. Prominent members of the Ewok village carried totems to symbolize their rank. The leader wore a headdress made of feathers called the White Wings of Hope. The eldest son of the tribe's leader wore a headdress called Red Wings of Courage, and the second son wore the Blue Wings of Strength. Now, that's something everybody needed to know. Ewok marriage. Unmarried male Ewoks spent much of their time living alone in the forest, building their own small huts near enough to the tree city to assist Ewoks in work. I think a lot of humans do that. Unmarried females would leave gifts of food, clothing, or weaponry on the doorstep of the unmarried males as a sign of their attraction and to tell how much the village missed them and wished they would come back as part of a family and as their female's mate. Yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone. If the male Ewok decided to take a mate, he had to build a family hut in the tree city, where he and his mate could live. The construction of the new hut signaled that the male had decided to take a mate, at which point all the unmarried females would try to woo him until his home was finished. The male did not decide whom he was taking. The chosen female had the right to refuse the male or the hut he had built. Children. Ewok had very closely attached to their fuzzy children called Wooklings. That's enough about the kids. They also had ground villages, lake villages, cliff villages. And so they had different types of villages. Culture. Music. Ewoks enjoyed singing and playing music during celebrations, festivals, and rituals. Ewoks also believed that music enhanced their work. Ewoks were resourceful and tended to make use of everything they get their hands on, so they used a variety of drums, horns, flutes, and other instruments in their music. As we also know, they also used the helmets of stormtroopers and naval troopers and anything else they get their hands on, which was the best part about the ending of Return of the Jedi. Language. The Ewok language is known as Ewokese, and it was related to many others on Endor, including Yasm language, which was recorded from off-world Yasm colonies programmed into certain models of protocol droids. The relationships of the Ewoks to communicate relatively easy with many other beings on Endor. Ewoks' full physiology allowed them to learn and speak most other languages as well, including Galactic Basic Standard. Hunting and trapping. Ewoks ventured into the forest to hunt using stone-tipped arrows, spears, as well as elaborate traps to catch their prey. Ewoks considered themselves to be great hunters. A single hunter could snare small animals, but an entire Ewok hunting party could catch animals as large as boar wolf. The Ewoks had created effective ways to hunt these monsters using spears and poison darts. The Ewoks would first set up a trap with scraps of bloody meat from a previous hunt, and then they would set a vine net on the forest floor. When the wolf ran towards the meat, it would get caught in the net, and then from the underbrush, the Ewok warriors would attack and charge the trapped wolf and attack and kill it. We know this is kind of what happened to Chewie and the gang on the when they got caught in the net in Return of the Jedi. Smaller game was killed with smaller sling nets. When a creature stepped into a loop, it set off a pressure trap. A pinned sapling would break free and fling the animal into the nearest tree. Recreation. There were tribal games. There were a series of games that Ewoks from scattered tribes could play. Much dancing and storytelling, but there was also far more dangerous events such as tree jumping. The Ewok would climb to the highest life tree and leap from the highest limb, and they'd try to catch themselves on the lower limbs until they descended all the way to the ground. An Ewok who missed could be seriously injured. Ewoks were sometimes known to smoke combustible substance pipes for recreational or spiritual purposes. So the Ewoks would use a variety of weapons that included knives, stone spears, slingshots, bows, and arrows. And during the Battle of Endor, they threw large rocks at stormtroopers and used ropes to dismount scout troopers from their speeder bikes, often breaking troopers' necks in the process, and using logs to trip and crush AT-STs. And here's another interesting piece here. The arrows were tipped with a potent neurotoxin, ensuring that anyone shot by them would die in an extremely gruesome manner. Even seemingly minor wounds would result in the victim clawing off any headgear, if they were wearing any, and gasping for air. The neurotoxin paralyzed every muscle in the victim's body, including their lungs. So that is how they were able to take out so many stormtroopers. What seemingly was easy. They also used a pit trap that they often used to lure their enemies into by running away and thus triggering the traps to have them impaled by stakes fixed to the ground when they fell into the trap. They often held down their enemy by removing any helmet and bludgeoning them with stone axe and knives made of volcanic glass. So Ewoks were tough. They were bad. Scary. And definitely earned the right to be called murder bears. So we get into their religion a little bit. Shamans, their soul trees, but we'll skip all that and wrap this one up. So there you have it. Topic of Ewoks. A lot more there than we realized. A lot more information in Wikipedia there. So I recommend everybody get in there and check it out. So we learned, I definitely learned something new today, and I hope everybody else did. If there's anything else you'd like us to focus on, or an entry you'd like us to dive into, you can reach out to us at brownsquadron@gmail.com, or reach us through a DM on any of our social sites. So this is Brown 2 signing off, and you have been listening to Hyperspace Heroes.
Hyperspace Heroes podcast can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Stitcher, and most other podcast services. If we are not on your service of choice, let us know. To leave your 5-star review, just click on the review button on your podcast service of choice and praise us to the maximum character limit available. To contact the show to comment, ask a question, suggest a conversation topic, or just to tell us how handsome we are, you can send us a DM on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter accounts. You can also email us at brownsquadron@gmail.com. Star Wars, its characters, shows, movies, books, etc. You get it. Our properties of Lucasfilm and Disney. Hyperspace Heroes podcast has no affiliation with Lucasfilm and Disney, although we would very much like to. Hyperspace Heroes podcast comments and opinions are ours alone, and the show is for entertainment purposes only. This is so we cannot be held liable when we say something dumb. If you're still listening at this point, we would like to say thank you for joining us on this exposition into a galaxy far, far away, and we appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you'll share the show with other fans and that you'll tune in again for the next episode.
Doba hyperspace nucha ni mechawa vorm all the esma paka kajitika heroes. This galaxy chesko muri shanli mane.
Hyperspace Heroes Podcast, The Legend of Brown Squadron.
Chona atimiri makachi sa stuta yuna shuba ikabunga utobra choka kavasu nuta ahotu ohotu isti chali chu ichuba tanaga.
That's no moon! Sorry, he burped.